What is up, you sexy bastards? It is your boy Ice Cream Sprinkles, aka Rabbi Can't Lose, aka Noah Kagan. Who comes up with these names? Today is the next part of our Brutally Honest series. We've heard amazing feedback from this, and today we're shifting from career advice in the previous episode, which you can check out, to business advice. Careers are like dipping your toes in the water, but business is where the real cash flow happens. And you know me, I like the hustle. I like the dollar bill. Now I'm jumping back into my Miata 2004 time machine to Noah's Back to the Future dose, where I'm sharing my best business advice I wish I knew back in the day. And hey, I do believe it will help you too in present day. People are always hustling to reinvent the wheel and create new paths in business, but the best path has already been figured out. Don't try to be innovative 9 out of 10 times, copy 9 out of 10, and innovate 1 out of 10 times. So listen up, my sweet listeners. Here's three gigantic things you're going to be taking away. Number one, should you be following curiosity or opportunity? Number two, find people who are already saying yes to a sale, and how do you build a business around them? And number three, how do you get balls rolling and sustain in success? We're going to talk about those three things, plus 20 plus more ear nuggets along the way. If you like this episode and you want more brutally honest advice about getting started in your career, check out episode 346 in this feed as well. Send me feedback at Noah Kagan on Twitter or Instagram and let me know what you think of these brutally honest episodes. It is spring break at appsumo.com. I don't know if you all remember spring break if you're too old for it, but you are not too old to party. And to celebrate, we are running some insane lifetime deals as usual for 12 different products to help you run your business on AppSumo. No more monthly subscriptions. These are lifetime deals. So hopefully you live forever and use the products forever and you never have to pay for them again. If you're a solopreneur or you're running a business and you want to save money on your costs, you can go check them out and enjoy at appsumo.com. Y'all, if you are not on my mailing list, we have exclusive emails each and every week. Go to noahkagan.com and sign up today. I think you're going to be some juicy business nuggets for you to enjoy. Also, special pre-show shout out to listener Fat Fubble. That was cool. I always look forward to my run, listening to the show with Noah and guests along. Feel good vibes with loads of juicy insights. Thanks, bro Oli from run77.run. Thank you, Fat Fubble, for that amazing feedback and great review. And thank you, everyone, your gorgeous listeners. I love being in your earlobes. I want to shout you out in a future episode. If you've got a book, if you've got a URL, if you're working on something, let me shout you out. All you have to do is leave a review on iTunes or Spotify about what you think of this episode and this show. Check every single one of them. Love to shout you out in a future show. So in terms of business, what mistakes did you make before you learned? I think a huge mistake was not realizing that everything I was doing was actually leading me somewhere. So I was swinging all the time, almost maybe too much. And I wasn't just realizing that each of them had something to teach me. And so as you were doing different things in your business and it's not working, stop for a second and say, thank you, friend, for teaching me something interesting about what's going on. So I was swinging a lot. You know, I swung HFG Consulting doing marketing for college campuses while I graduated. I did ninjacard.com, a discount card, which was a swing. I did collegeup.org, which was another swing, which was Craigslist for people with EDU email addresses, college students. Then I swung with Entrepreneur 27, which was just meetups and hangouts of other people. And then I swung on Community Next because I wanted a conference for social networking and there wasn't one. And so that Community Next then led me to Mint.com. And Mint.com led me to do Kickflip, which was Facebook games. And Kickflip led me to do Gambit, which is payments for Facebook games. And Gambit then led me to ultimately end up doing AppSumo, which has become my life's work. And so all of these swings are actually a great learning opportunities if I just looked at them as learning moments. And there was just a lot of things that I hated along the way that all were learning moments too. You know, I did the payments for Facebook games. And I learned about the power of partners, right? Like, who are you really marrying? When we talk about business and we're like, I need a co-founder. I'm like, do you really want a co-founder? If you don't find the right person, it's going to be a big pain in the ass. Or as my grandma Mima would say, pain in the tuchus. So that was a great learning opportunity where me and the partners each thought we were more important than each other. And it turns out we were all the most important, just maybe not all together. And so that was a great learning moment. Another part from Gambit as well, even just breaking down more specific examples, was it was a really great sales cycle. So the business model matters. So specifically with Gambit, it was a really cool business model where we built this payments engine and literally you plug it into the games and instantly we made cash. So from a business model perspective, it was really powerful to realize about getting paid up front, being close to the money is important. But there's also an opposite side of that, which was some of the sales cycles for larger clients like Zynga's of the world, Disney's of the world, Playdom of the world, Storm8 of the world could take 6 to 12 months. A lot of ass kissing. They would put us in, we'd start getting rich, and then they would take us out 2 weeks later. And it really helped teach me in business the value of what's most important to my customer. And if you're going to do a long sales cycle, it's got to be a long reward. Short sales cycles, quick reward. And those were really valuable lessons along the way that kept teaching me different pieces. Same thing from the conference stuff that I was talking about earlier. As I was doing Entrepreneur 27, as I was doing these conferences, I was looking up through some photos on Flickr. I know y'all don't know about Flickr anymore. I had hair when there was Flickr. And I was like, holy shit, I did wine meetups. I did chess meetups. I did ping pong meetups. I met, you know, the founder of Firefox, and I was connecting with Michael Arrington from TechCrunch. And, you know, those swings were really great at getting me just to be around other interesting people. And so I hear a lot of people, Noah, well, you have an audience now, and I love my audience. I love each of you. You're all my favorites. But it was starting the same way that everyone else is that doesn't have an audience, by going out there and trying to meet people. Maybe one high piece of business advice, brutally honest, that I think I did correctly that I would do again is really follow your curiosity and really go after problems you're excited about. When I chased opportunities, when I chased, let's say today, AI, or a few years ago it was crypto, or last year it was Shopify, or, you know, like, and I don't think it's bad. I definitely have chased, but when I've chased the opportunity, I flamed out. And when I chased my curiosity and when I chased the problem solving, I stuck with. So content creation and blogging and all this parts was hugely advantageous, and I love doing it, and I've stuck with it 24 years. Whereas when I did Facebook games, because I wanted to get the hell out of Mint.com, or I, you know, as I chased payments for these games in the same kind of vein, or as I chased affiliate site, I built FreeCalls2.com. It was really easy to give up, and so I would just be mindful of the problems you're chasing. Acknowledge the chase and be okay with it, and really be thinking, it's a chase, and I'm just here learning business skills. It's a chase, and I'm using repetition to improve my business skills to get me to the point of what I want. Now, on the other side of the chase was really great problems that I was excited about. When I got the job at Facebook, it was only because I was using Facebook a lot in my consulting business, HFG, to do marketing to college students, and I was using it to like communicate with people. And so I was like, man, I love this site. So if it's either going to be quit my job at Intel, start my own business, or go work here. So same thing with Mint.com, where I was like, oh my God, I love this. Let's go do this one. Now, in your own life, what I encourage you to reflect on is, what are you using day to day? Or what problems are you excited to work on? And I think that's such a great way to spend your life. What are the things you're using day to day that you would like to be more a part of? Or what problems would you want to spend your life on? And I do think I've made really good decisions because of that. And it's led me in a path where now my job is to promote software products, or promote how people can start entrepreneurship, or make content and figure out how people can consume and take action on that content. And those are all problems that I've been really excited to be doing. Learn personal finance. This is, you know, we'll talk about relationships and another brutal advice, but if you can just learn about your money better, like, such a game changer. You know, back in the day, and I still use the same spreadsheet, which is assets, liabilities, net worth. And then if you can start looking at other businesses' P&Ls, and there's a lot of companies these days like Buffer who share a lot of their P&Ls publicly. I think Barometrics also used to share a lot of the finances of these different companies, or you can go to indiehackers.com. But just learn about your own personal finance and learn about business finance. So I went to college for business in undergrad. I didn't learn shit there. But starting a business, the experience of business, and understanding the finances of business really teach you that, holy shit, taxes are crazy. So how do I minimize that? Maybe you create an LLC. Holy shit, my day job is fixed, right? There's a limited cap on that. So maybe I need to create other ways of optimizing my revenue streams. I'm running this business and it's not super profitable. Well, that's interesting. What's really going on there? And so just having a deeper understanding of personal finance and business finance is something that I definitely did well. And maybe let's separate this talk in like things I did that I'm glad I fucking did and things that I highly regret in business. In business, I'd say find someone to hate. I know this is I'm an optimistic, joyful person, which is our learned skills, but I definitely have frustrations. But I would say the hate and anger of Facebook really had a good decade. I got a good decade to squeeze out of that one. So find someone to hate. Let your hate motivate. And I reflect on the business that I approached in my 20s. And I wonder candidly, how did I not give up? I was joking earlier this morning about how I applied for a job at Yahoo. It was a six-figure job after Facebook. And I remember thinking, I just can't do it. Like, if one, Yahoo's dumb for hiring me, let's just start there. Who even uses Yahoo nowadays? But I just can't do it. I'm so angry. And I need a chance to show myself that I can prove them wrong. You know, and I would say in my 30s, especially in my 40s, it's proving myself right. But find an enemy to really motivate you. And maybe it's not this hate part, but I will tell you that fucking got me going in business, where I was just like, I'm going to keep going until I finally prove them wrong. And what you realize in that business experience, because you need to have something to motivate you. Like when people ask what motivates you, I was like, myself, because I'm fucking angry. You can even hear my voice, how it brings up a trigger in me. And over time, you realize that these people don't care that you hate them or that you motivate them. And over time, you realize that, you know, maybe you want to be motivated out of excitement and optimism. And that's how it will shift over time. Well, who you're working with, the problems you're working on, the things you're spending time on, and you will get that shift. But find that thing that really is inspiring for yourself, that you're excited to get up early in the morning to check it, you're staying up late to working on it, and you're motivated around it. Another thing I would say, I don't know if it's maybe more of a mix, is that I would just be intense. I think there's times for different intensities where I would just be insane on this work. So when we were doing Gambit, I kid you not, I was probably working 16-hour days because a lot of our customers were in Europe, and it was awesome. We got $150,000 a day in revenue. We were doing at our peak. You know, it was about $15,000 a day in profit for three people. It's a lot of money. And I was good with that intensity. And I think the reflection on that business advice is that if there's opportunity, sometimes it is time sensitive and you have to run with it. And there's also a business advice on the other side of that about having consistency and sustainability in your success. So if there's intensity, run with it. And, you know, I think maybe that what I'd reflect on from a business perspective is that it's intensity to get the ball rolling, and then it's sustainability to get the ball winning. Another business advice, give gifts. Gifts are the cheapest way to get people to like you. I did a gift to get a customer named Greg Sang. He ran tag.com. I don't know if it's still around, but they were like the shit back in the day. And I remember he was a runner, so I sent him running shoes. Such a stupid ass way to like get him to actually pay attention to me. But that eventually led him to do a deal, which ended up making us tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars from some shoes. So I think gift giving either before, during, or after your interactions with people, and really just be observant. From employees and teammates, which I see at AppSumo, and what I see from almost the world, is we just want to feel acknowledged. And a gift is a cool way to acknowledge and really see someone else. And I think in business, it's very undervalued. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Like if you don't have any money, then make content as a gift. Make a research as a gift. You can do things like that. But if you have even $100, you can send someone a pair of shoes. My things about gift giving is you want it to be something that they use regularly and see regularly. So cups, coffee mugs, like an Ember coffee mug, I think is a cool idea. It's something unique. I got my buddy Lewis House some New Air Jordans. They were about a G, but it was just like, wow, he's going to be like, damn, that's a cool one for $1,000. Like, it's just a cool thing to send to someone. As well, Ali Abdaal. I love Ali Abdaal. Go get his book, Feel Good Productivity. He was so unbelievably helpful advice and just support around Million Dollar Weekend. So I sent him a gift for him and his fiance. I sent him a cool camera that they can do for a date night. Again, gift giving, highly underrated. We've got a sponsor I've got to give some love to. And no, they didn't even pay for this. I just love their product so much and want to give them some love and encourage you to check them out. It is LMNT, or as some people call it, Element. It is electrolytes. It is salt. I use it almost every single day and definitely every single time I am cycling. You probably have seen these guys on Tim Ferriss. You've probably seen it with Lance Armstrong. You've seen it? Noah Kagan. Holy shit. They have a free pack with free shipping. That's my favorite prices at drinklmnt.com/Noah Kagan. That's drinklmnt.com/Noah Kagan. My favorite flavor is raspberry, and I hate raspberry. What other business advice? Shit, man, brutally honest. The first dollar is still the sweetest. Like if you haven't gotten a dollar, Million Dollar Weekend, I'll give you a dollar, but I still get excited making a first dollar. What I'm learning and noticing about business in general is that most people never get the dollar, and then when they get the dollar, they're looking for a separate dollar. And I'm like, no, just look for dollar number two. And so how I've shifted my perspective over time is like, once you get the first dollar and you get the second dollar, like stick with these things. That's a powerful one that maybe you're not really recognizing, which is get the first dollar and then get a second dollar and a third dollar. Don't try to get brand new dollars in a separate category. Just keep working around that. Another business advice I'm seeing from a lot of other people is that they have a day job and they have a network and an X skill. They're trying to get their startup and their business in Y network and Y skill, which is a very hard thing to cross over. And we see these stories about it, which doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's just more challenging. And so a lot of people have day jobs and they're like, I want to be a content creator. And it's like, it's the same as your day job. It's the same. It's a job. And so instead of making it such a big jump from totally different industries, can you start smaller on this stuff? And if you want to be in content creation, or if you want to build stuff for content creators, this is like the exact thing. I want to build stuff for content creators. Do you make content? No. Do you know a lot of content creators? No.
Okay.
That's going to be hard. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It's just going to be a little harder. So how do you approach that for yourself in a small way, just like getting a few pieces of twigs? One of the thoughts I was having was like in my 20s, my regret was I was just trying all these businesses. And in my 40s, I'm saying no a lot more. So I'm selling most of my real estate. I think it's really thinking about the lifestyle you want to live. And in my 20s, I think it's like, oh, you're supposed to do real estate. You're supposed to have a job. You're supposed to like live these things. And to me, it felt frantic. And so I have regrets how frantic I felt. And then it's kind of pulling back from that franticity and really dialing in and thinking more about what's the life I want to work backwards from. I'll tell you one of the things in business that was the most helpful was getting cheated on. I was working at Intel and I got cheated on. I remember just sitting on my couch and I was crying and my mom put her arm around me and she's like, it's going to be okay. And everything ultimately actually is always okay. But what that sparked me to do was really just map out, like, I think I wrote 30, 90, 365, 10. And it was just working backwards from where I wanted to go. And I still think one of the best books of all time is Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It doesn't say successful. And that was a great reminder of working backwards from where you want to go. I think I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, make a lot of money, live my life away. I just didn't know how I was going to get there. And so actually being a little more concrete with that, saying, all right, how do I get $1,000 by the end of the year? And I remember by 30, I wanted to be a millionaire, which I think I got to that. I wanted to have my own house. I did not have that. I wanted to have a wife, kids, and dog. Did not have that. But at least it gave me somewhere to shoot for. So working backwards from some of your goals. You know, some of the other business advice, I was very good at getting focused on something to accomplish, maybe to a fault. So Zuckerberg taught me about focusing on one goal. And so the good about that is I would get, you know, we talked about working backwards. I would get obsessed to get to the goal at all costs. And then I would kind of stop right after I got the goal because I was so fucking tired and I was like burnt of these different areas. And so it's great to have one goal, but make it a more achievable goal that you can, when you hit it, you can sustain that for a longer period of time. What I learned at Mint was the best marketing is a great product. And it was so exciting to work on it for myself because I loved the problem and the marketing was just easy. You know, Aaron, the founder, came over 2 days ago for some tea at my house and he was just like, I've never seen anyone market like you did. And I wonder from time, like if I didn't do it in the marketing or I hired someone else, like what would have happened for Mint? Would it have been where it is? Maybe. And so I do think there's a balance. Like if you make a great product and tell no one, you know, I think that's the fantasy people trick you on. Like, oh, if you make a great video or you make a great song, or you make a great software, or you make a great book, like people just tell others about it. But if no one knows about it, I think that's going to be a lot harder. And so to make your marketing easier, find a business and find a problem that people are excited about. And it makes the marketing fun and just a lot more easier to be effective. One of the things I was thinking about in business is, you know, I started doing these conferences and work backwards from the customers who have the money. Doesn't mean rich, just means people who have the money. And so when I was doing my conferences, you know, Community Next, I remember the first conference, I went and looked at who was sponsoring other conferences. This is the same thing I've talked about in Million Dollar Weekend, where I went and studied other books. I went and talked to other authors. I went and looked at other covers. I did a lot of testing. And so how do you work backwards from things that are clearly working or people that are already spending money? So I remember hitting up people at Yahoo, people at other businesses, and they were already saying like, yeah, I spend money. So work backwards from these customers that are already spending money. It made it a lot easier because I knew they were already saying yes to the spends. Another thing in business advice that was super helpful is agree on the outcome of success of your customer. So what I mean by that is as I was doing these sponsorships, one of the things I'd be asking people is like, how do you measure your success? Like if this is the best money you spend all year, what would make it worth it for you? And it was interesting because there's a lot of different things. Like some people say, I just want leads, meaning people. So just give me 15 people to sign up for my service and it makes it worth it. Other people be like, I just want exposure. Those are great because I didn't care. And so be mindful of your customer success and align on that. And the same thing with people you hire. I'd say another piece of business advice I didn't think I did enough of in my 20s is really about leadership, self-leadership and external leadership. And so self-leadership is just making sure you're leading in a way for yourself that you're proud of, but really external leadership is how are you hiring people? And so, especially if you're just getting started, hire a cleaner at your house. Really? No? Yeah, that's leadership. Silly, but it's hiring someone, it's agreeing on a money, it's making sure they're responsible, it's making sure they follow a checklist, it's making sure that you're checking in on them. I would say that is a skill I developed definitely more in later 30s, you know, as AppSumo got started. But something that you can do today, you can get an assistant on hiremymom.com or on Fiverr or on Freelancer or on Upwork And all of business is a problem that people want solved and then finding other people to help you really run that business. A lot of these things, people are trying to make you feel that it's overcomplicated. I don't think that's the case. So yes, work on your leadership skills. You know, one of the things I didn't used to do video chat interviews with people when I hired them. And I remember I did one with a person. I was like, holy shit, I got to do this because this guy was really creepy and I was scared of him. And I was like, shit, I should have hired him. So I was like, damn, do a video interview. I would say a good business tip for everyone is just practice fucking selling and getting good. And what is a sell? It's an ask. Selling has a really, it's actually a negative connotation these days, but everyone's selling you something. An influencer selling you like their Amazon affiliate link, or someone's selling you their product, or someone's trying to sell you on a relationship. And really it's an ask. And this is something that I've been thinking about, which is how do you just get better at asking, right? And it's literally chapter 2 in the book of Million Dollar Weekend, which is practicing this. And so asking for a sponsor of a conference, asking someone to attend a conference. I remember asking someone to email out to their audience, to their Yahoo Group's newsletter, like, hey, I got this conference. Can you email it out to other VCs? And when people say, how do you ask better? It's not even almost how you ask. It's just that you're asking and then you practice it. And so I would say in your own life, can you practice for a raise? Can you practice asking for a discount? Maybe on your bills, maybe on a coffee. And the more that you do these things right away, the more you realize that it's been holding you back, but it's also what's going to set you free. And I got better at it. You know, I just kept asking for all these things that now I've got to tone down. I'm like asking for too much sometimes. So I think that was really great. I'd say especially in my 20s, there wasn't much social media around. But I would say what I can see more people doing better in business is prioritizing their time in business. If you think about your week and you want to change your life in your business, how much time are you actually dedicating? Like look in your calendar and how much time is actually allocated around it. And if you give up 1 hour and one Netflix, you can really change your life this week, today. And that was something that I did really well and where I was very motivated to get out of a job. And that led me to work in the mornings, work on nights, work in weekends. And, you know, I remember distinctly, I was speaking at Techstars Boston, I think it was like their first class, and I was talking about Mint, but I got kind of excited about these Facebook games. And I remember giving my speech, and then during my speech, I was like coding in the audience. And the important thing for you is have somewhere to go, have a dream in your business life, have a dream that you want to work backwards from. And then really, as you're doing your day-to-day, week-to-week activities, really think about, okay, what's my opportunity cost here? Like if I get this thing going, when I get this thing going, like I could do that. And then in the next literally 30, 50 years of my life, have an awesome life, or I can enjoy this, you know, crappy Netflix show. And that was something that highly motivated me because I wanted to get out so badly that I was willing to swing on all these things. You know, as I talk about my business experiences in my 20s, a lot of it was, you know, close encounters of success, but there was just so many great learning moments across all this stuff, from conferences to coffee meetings to brain pickings, you know, it was like, can I pick your brain, to blogging, to like starting so many things now, not how. I was starting so many things. I was just kind of saying yes to almost everything. And if you think about it high level, one, I feel good about that I kind of kept going, because I think a lot of us, it's easy to want to stop. I think if I had to summarize it, it's like in your 20s or just if you're earlier in your business journey, say yes to everything so you can say no to what matters. Say yes to everything so you can say no to what matters. And I would say yes to all this stuff and all these people. And then eventually over time, as you understand yourself and how you want to live, you really just start dialing in what really matters. And you're like, okay, I'm going to say no to this stuff now because I know what matters now. And it takes time to get to that level of wisdom. I think other business thing I'm seeing, brutally honest, people try to do something brand new when they have things that already work. And they already have so many things in their network and in their zone of influence that they're just not leveraging, or their skills they're not leveraging. Like there was a guy who emailed me and it was such a cool email. He said, hey, I have an email list about Porsche, vintage Porsche prices. And I was like, that is the most niche thing I've ever heard. You know, I have Miata prices, but no one really cares about that. His name is David Whitlock. And he said, yeah, you know, I've had this Porsche prices, and, you know, he chose a freedom number and it was, you know, I won't share his, but then in one day he just shot an email to, he had a 1600 person mailing list. That's, I mean, most of you guys can get a 1000 person mailing list over some period of time of Porsche people. And said, hey, I have all this data on Porsche prices. Does anyone want to pay for it? It's $400 for my database. Just sent it out, did a test. He started right away, really quickly. I don't know if you want me to share his numbers, but it's almost $10,000 from one quick test email to a very small niche audience. I think that's just like such a cool story of, you know, you start, you swing, you try, you keep going, you start, you swing, you try, you keep going. And it really gets you to these amazing places in business. I think what I would end again on this is, I think we think it's someone else out there that's supposed to have these things or someone else in business that's better than us. And the reality is they're not. They're different than us. And they have skills that we're not good at and we find them to complement us. But we don't have to think that we're not able to get to these different places. It may not happen immediately. It may not. But I promise you, if you stick with the business stuff, if you follow Million Dollar Weekend Processor and other variations out there, and you just keep going, like you will get to the spot. I promise. I think it's very interesting to work on things you just hate. I did that a lot. Like we built this BetArcade site and I just remember hating my partners. It was a sports gambling website, which now is like DraftKings. But just like, don't work on things you hate. It's too short. But I was like, didn't like the partners, didn't like the space. And I spent 6 months just being afraid. And I wish I would have been more confident that, hey, this is not right. I don't like this. I don't like these people and feeling more confident to leave that sooner. The other thing I would say what's interesting about that is that everything has two sides. So that business led us to build Gambit, which was the payments, which then exploded. And then Gambit, even though it didn't work out, that we were very close to then leaving Gambit to starting a Stripe product, which Stripe didn't exist. And so even though the thing you have, you might hate, it's teaching you something and it's really leading you to a place that I think you can stick with. There's a lot of value in business. I think business, there's two parts of it. It's finding something people really want and then sticking with it for an exceptionally long period of time. And I think what most people are getting backwards in business is, you know, grit and sustaining is taught as a virtue and something to do. And what happens though, is they're sticking with losers too long. They're not finding the winner and sticking with it long enough. And, you know, I think around 30 is when AppSumo got started. And I thank God with all these lessons from partners, from marketing, from starting, from asking, from a goal, from all these different attributes. It was like getting AppSumo to, you know, 14 years later, which is kind of crazy, really 14 years. And the places you will go. So that was a rambling of a bunch of different ideas around business for myself. And, you know, maybe leave it with, why not you? Why not you? That is a wrap. I hope you loved the episode as much as we did making it for you. Remember to check out the incredible lifetime deals that we've talked about during spring break at appsumo.com. They're limited edition only. Also, check out my brand new book, Million Dollar Weekend. You guys have already heard about this a ton. I've talked about it a ton. But you know, in business, they say, what do they say? You have to repeat the same thing 1,000 times for people to finally do it. Yes, Million Dollar Weekend. Go to milliondollarweekend.com. Go check it out. Next, text a friend you love them. Finally, a couple of shout outs to the amazing team who helped make this happen. Special thanks to Jason at podcasttech.com for doing all the magic on these shows. Thank you to Jeremy, Cam, Sylvie, Jay, Diego, and Memo from the Dork team for all the magic y'all do. Have a burrito day. What's your favorite Asian dish?